first reading for this Easter morning comes from Acts chapter 10. Peter opened his mouth and said, "Truly, I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. And he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and made him to appear not to all the people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him, all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name." This is the word of the Lord. Our epistle reading comes from Colossians chapter 3. "If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory." This is the word of the Lord. Gospel according to Matthew chapter 28. "Now, after the Sabbath, towards the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes as white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. Behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you. So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace to you, and peace and life on this resurrection morning. I wish I could have found the person who said it to give them attribution, but Google failed me. Someone in the very recent past, I read this quote that I think is full of wisdom for Easter morning. Whoever it was wrote, "It's not really that people don't believe in the resurrection. It is more that they don't believe it happened only once." The shock Easter poll this year was from the BBC of the British population. The British people are not Americans, but it was still revealing. They asked the Easter question on belief: do you believe in the resurrection? And 25% of those who claimed to be Christian said no. That was the shock result that catapulted the poll to the headlines. Although, given the state of the Church of England, where you are as likely to hear a reading from the Quran as from the Bible, it shouldn't be a shock. There are few Christian churches that are more effective at raising agnostics and atheists as squishy Christianity. For me, the shocking result was that amongst the British non-Christians, 17% said they believed the resurrection. Another 28% answered that they believed in some form of resurrection, if not exactly that in the text that we read. 46% of non-Christian Britain believe in some form of resurrection. An English vicar might be forgiven for thinking his work is done. The proof of the resurrection is the same today as it was 2,000 years ago. The tomb was empty. He appeared to many people who testified what they had seen. Those people were able to take hold of his feet or put their hand into his side or break bread and eat fish with him. Ghosts don't have feet, and the Magdalene grabs those feet and holds on. It wasn't a look-alike because the scars were there. It wasn't zombie Jesus. He wasn't after brains, but after fellowship, which included some meals. Likewise, it wasn't just a pure spirit, because Jesus would eat. This was the promised sign of Jonah. But as with all of the signs that Jesus performed in his life, resurrection, too, inspires a divide. There are those who can witness the signs and hear the testimony, and they say, "Sorry, it didn't happen." They will choose what someone else has told them must be the case over their own lying eyes and ears. Sorry, Mary, Thomas, Peter, John, all of the apostles, all the people who gathered around there, didn't happen. You're under a mass hallucination. Right. Jesus is rather blunt about folks who see this and dismiss it. "Let the dead bury their dead." Or, "And what about you, Capernaum? Will you be exalted to heaven?" you will be brought down to Hades. For the mighty works, if the mighty works done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. Or, if God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God and I am here. You are of your father the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires, said to the Pharisees. Or thinking of those 25% who claim to be Christians but don't believe the resurrection, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. It's not really the people that believe or that disbelieve the resurrection. It's those who don't believe it happened only once. And I know you're thinking, Pastor's gone crazy. Believing multiple resurrections is a category that holds nobody. But let me give you a few examples. And I dare you to Google modern resurrection stories. 757,000 hits in half a second. And I'll just share three categories to prove my point. The first category is what I would call the Pentecostal resurrection. The number one return on that Google search is from Charisma News, a major publication of the charismatic or the Pentecostal movement. The title, here is some proof of modern resurrections. And the opening paragraph of the report read, after years of hearing the story from extended family members, Craig Keener verified in 2008 that his sister-in-law, Teresa, had been raised from the dead in 1960. The seminary professor made the discovery on a visit to his wife's native Congo. Two witnesses told of how Teresa had stopped breathing for 3 hours before the evangelist prayed for her and she sprang back to life. The article goes on and details more such resurrections. Apparently, when you combine spiritual power to evangelism, Lazarus comes out everywhere. That probably sounds too cynical. I believe that there are such things as healings and resuscitations. Those are exactly the circumstances when Peter and Paul would raise the dead in the book of Acts. My problem with that one is the label of resurrection. If I'm resurrected just to die again, that's not a resurrection. That's not what Jesus did this morning. Lazarus died again. So did the son of the widow of Nain. So did Eutychus, the man that Paul raised after Paul's sermon had put him to sleep and he fell out a window. So did Tabitha, a disciple so loved that everyone, they sent some people to Peter to drag him there to do something about her death. These events might point toward the resurrection, but they are not resurrections. When we have that resurrection body, death no longer has a claim on us. The second category I'll call the Christ-haunted world. I'm borrowing that phrase from Flannery O'Connor. She used it about the American South and Southern literature. She said the Southerner is very afraid that they have been formed in the image and likeness of God. Not willing, as Mary Magdalene was, to throw themselves at Jesus' feet and worship, O'Connor thought that the Southerner became haunted with Christ figures popping out everywhere, reminding us of what true man is. We no longer have the Southern freaks of Flannery popping out, but every other story we read has a resurrection. Neo from The Matrix is put down by Agent Smith only to come back. The original Star Trek movies, Kirk brings back Spock. And in the modern resurrections of Star Trek, Spock brings back Kirk. Harry Potter has a resurrection, along with his main nemesis, Voldemort. The favorite political narrative is The Comeback Kid, which is a resurrection story of a kind. The riches to rags to riches is a staple of the Wall Street Journal, always portrayed as a business resurrection. We live in a resurrection-haunted world. Everybody gets three lives. Ready Player One. The last category that I'll label is the metaphor. If the Christ-haunted world is the popular way, everyone gets a resurrection, maybe two or three. The metaphor is for the upper crust. A writer for Vox, the explainer journalism catechism site for the liberal elite, a Vox writer wrote, "That's how I see Jesus' resurrection. Not so much as an event I look at, as an event that I look through. For me, it remains the interpretive key of the entire universe. And though it might seem improbable and primitive, we are all aware that this idea is writ large across our imaginations and even the cosmos. Every morning, the sun is reborn. Each spring, harvests come back to life. After each disappointment, our dashed hopes are reanimated and soar to ever newer heights. For all the death and evil and greed and ugliness of our world, I can't shake the fact that every last atom of this place is pulsing in time with the rhythm of resurrection. Not the resurrection, just resurrection. Every last atom. Can't get more multiple than that. The trouble is convincing people it happened only once. It's not that we won't be raised. That's the promise. But all of these multiple resurrections that we are surrounded with are used to deny the truth. Resurrection is not a general category that everybody just gets their turn at. It's a historic particularity, a singularity. The resurrection happened to Jesus Christ. It's his last and greatest sign. It's the sign that his sacrifice was accepted. Overcome sin and Satan. The Father would not let death have the last word. Man's rough justice that kills innocent with the guilty is not the final court. Christ committed his spirit into the hands of his Father. He rested his case, and his Father raised him. He's the firstborn from the dead. And because he has shown the way past sin and Satan and death, he is the way, the truth, and the life. The way of life is past Calvary. The resurrection goes through the cross. And Jesus uniquely is the resurrection and the life. If we're to respect the resurrection and apply it to our lives, you've got to take it out of that fake multiple realm and make it real in Christ. Paul would tell the Colossians, as we read, if you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are from above. Not your best life now. Not your inner drive or aligning every last atom with some quasi-spiritual goal of yours. But set your minds on things that are above. Because your life is hidden with Christ. We're not building some ghostly image of that life, but we're waiting for that true life to appear. And when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory. Paul would say elsewhere that until that glory appears, I count everything as a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and share in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Resurrection is not an imminent, this-worldly thing that we can force whenever we want it. When we try to make it so, we get its pale replications that do not satisfy. Resurrection is in Christ alone. He is risen. In him, we too shall rise at the appointed time. But until that time, don't be afraid, for he is risen. Amen.